Yeah.
You guys know Jerome Olds in our church?
Yep.
Jerome's son Solomon was the co-writer of this song.
Yeah.
I just thought you guys would like to know that. He got that talent from his dad.
And this song kind of goes along with the subject of our class. These people in the Mercy Me, I understand they're all pastors. And they have four or five people that show up in this video. Two or three of them are from the Ratchet Mercy Me group. Some of them are from other people who have some sort of infirmity, either a wound in their spirit from the past or maybe even a physical infirmity. And you see them in their first interview as down, depressed. Oh my gosh, I'm looking back at who I really am. This is really bad. But then as the group sings the word, but you're flawless because of the blood of Jesus and the cross, they get healed, and their second testimony is, okay, are you with me? So that's kind of where we're looking, that's where we are. We're going to be talking about looking back at the wrong things in life. There are things that we're supposed to look back at. And we get into the lesson. But I want you to see that when these people were looking back at their sin, at their regrets, they were down. But when they found out what Jesus did, or when they discovered, when it hit them, you'll see their healing, okay? That's the end of the song. Hang on a minute.
There had to be more than going back and forth from doing right to doing wrong. Cause we were taught that's who we are. Come on, get in line right behind me. You along with everybody. Live like a hero who takes the stage when we're on the edge of the seat, saying it's too late. Well, let me introduce you to Amazing Grace.
Let me introduce you to Grace.
Flawless.
Flawless.
Now, they did have to go back and see that they weren't flawless in their natural life. But then the truth came. And when the truth came, okay?
Because of the cross.
And the truth is a person who is Jesus. And the Bible says, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us.
Come on.
That in him we might be the righteousness of God.
Amen.
The
grace. Can you imagine somebody like that that was that messed up and all of a sudden God moves inside of them?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm one.
It's not imagination.
The lesson's over. Carol and I were watching TV one evening, I guess about 10 days ago, it's over now, and we saw this guy. Anybody remember the movie Faith Like Potatoes? What was his name? Angus Buckham? He, South Africa. He was teaching on this TV program about don't look back while you're plowing. He was a farmer. Okay? And so we're going to be talking about what did he mean, don't look back while you're plowing. And then we're going to be talking about, like, these people were able, they're able to plow now because they're not looking back anymore, they're healed, right? So we're going to be talking about things that we're not supposed to look back at that would hamper us in our ministry, which is what plowing is all about. And then we're going to talk about some things that we are supposed to look back at. Good things. Okay? So. Sure.
When you're dealing with inner healing and when you're dealing with forgiveness, for instance, you have to take away the idea of who that person once was, or else you can't get delivered, because if you deal with bitterness and hate,
that's right,
it'll hamper the way that you see that person and it'll eat you away.
Absolutely.
So if you're plowing, you can't, like you said, you can't look back, so kind
of... You need to be healed before you plow.
You might even be chipping away as you're plowing.
You're right. Let's look at the context of this, what Jesus was talking. In Luke 9, now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to receive up, that he steadfastly sent his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face. And as they went, they entered a village of Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him, because his faith was set for the journey. Now we go to skip to verse 57. Now as it happened, as they journeyed on the road, someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to them, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead. But you go and preach the kingdom of God. And to all another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. And Jesus spoke to this group of people. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, we'll talk about that for a minute. But here, he sent out, in this context of scripture, he's going to send out the 70. Remember when he sent out the 70 to minister? So he's talking about us going out like these people were ministers. He's talking, every one of us has a calling. It may be for one child in our family. It may be for hundreds around the world. It may be for a nation. Whatever it is, every single one of us has a calling. As a matter of fact, Carol, give me that scripture this morning. Where is it? I'll find it somewhere. What was it, Carol? The Philippians? What did it say?
Behind and pressing forward to the prize of the high calling of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is a calling where he calls us forward. He calls us forward to follow him. And when Larry's talking about this from a farmer's perspective, how many of you have ever been around a farm out in the country and around plowing? If you know anything about that, and I grew up in a small town and a lot of my family were farmers, I enjoyed the springtime when they were plowing and whatever. But if you notice, when they turn that corner, they do a row, and they turn that corner and they go forward, they don't look back. They have to look forward in order to get that row straight. They have to have something ahead of them. And we have to have something ahead of us. We've got to have that vision of the prize, of the high calling of God, to look forward, that it doesn't matter what our past has been. The Lord has made us flawless. Amen?
He said, here's what he said. It says, I learned something very interesting about plowing. Remember, I was raised as a city boy. If I never see a person plowing a field, I saw Angus Backus on TV explaining the idea of not looking back while plowing. Angus was the farmer and evangelist in South Africa that was featured in the movie Faith Like Potatoes. Here's what he explained on TV. That when a person plows a field, he must first pick a stationary object, like a tree or a structure, keep his eyes on it. The plow must make a straight line. If a person looks back while he's plowing, the plow weaves out of the straight course. Watch this. Here's my hands on the plow, and I look back. What did I do? Okay, now, the plow weaves out of the straight course and makes a curve in the plowing line. Then when the plowman turns back, comes the other direction, and reaches the curve, he must curve again in order to align with the plowed up ground. After several trips back and forth with the plow, the curve distorts the field and it's not suitable for planting. Angus said the plowed field would look like being the shape of a snake. So he's talking here. Now remember, he's talking about plowing. There's plowing, there's sowing, and there's harvesting. He's talking about plowing here in the terms of going out with your calling. Are you with me? Okay. Now, he said, don't turn back. Who turned back in the Old Testament? Lot's wife. They were leaving the world, and she turned back, and she turned into a pillar of what, salt or something? Okay. So, he was telling these people in the two or three stories here, don't turn back and look at the world. Because if you turn back and look at the world system for yourself, including several things that we'll talk about here, but what he's talking about in the world, you're not going to be fit for going out like the 70. You're not going to be fit to go out into your calling if you keep turning back. Are you with me so far? That's where we're going with this, all right? Now let me explain a little bit. Page 2. Right after Jesus made the statement about not looking back, he sent out 70 people in every city with the gospel. He needed those who would take up their cross for his ministry. He was looking for those who were totally committed so that the gospel would go forth in truth and power. Actually, if we do look back, our conversational relationship with Jesus is hampered. Even if we do preach the gospel, it will not be anointed. Luke 10, 1 and 2 said, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face in every city and every place where he himself was about to go. This is the context in which he was talking. He sent out the 70. And then he said, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Now, the question is, as Elizabeth said, what are we in danger of looking back at? And then after that, we'll say, what are we supposed to look back at? And I'm going to let her share about that. As you read these, remember that we are new creations in Christ. All things have become new. We have been born again. Our old carnal nature will die with God. That's like this flawless thing. Looking back is contrary to these facts. Meditate on these truths daily. Now, these are these 1, 2, 3, 4 looking backs go along with looking back at the world like Lot's wife did. You might be looking back at some of the pleasures of the world, or you might be looking back at some of the stuff we're talking about here. Are we supposed to look back at our regrets and failures? What happens when we do? Regrets have a way of controlling our thinking. Failures can cause us to feel condemnation. Our failures have been washed clean by the blood. Say his blood. Whatever we failed in life, that's been washed. The mud's off our face. Amen? Barry? Is that right? You have been crucified with Christ. Now it is he that lives in you. It's washed away. So when you have a temptation, look back at regrets. Think about this little movie, this little video that we saw. Number two, don't look back at your glory. Some look back at pride at what you have done for in ministry. Pride prevents humility. Everybody say humility. Which is important for our lives. Every act of ministry is only effective if Jesus does it through you. That is always for his glory. Everybody with me? Any questions on that? You understand that? Number three, this is a big one. Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness will cause us to look back without even trying. It just controls us. If we have unforgiveness, even unforgiveness that we are not aware of, we'll be always looking back. Our defective conscience will not allow open fellowship with God. We're always replaying what others did to us and perhaps what we have done and not asked forgiveness for. All of your sins have been absorbed by him at the cross, and you are free. Remember, I want to remind, there's two types of forgiveness here. We need to forgive others for what they've really done wrong to us. Amen? Not because it wasn't wrong, just because we need to forgive them. Otherwise, we won't be forgiven. And we need to ask forgiveness for what we've done. And we've got to get that straight. Sometimes in our lives, we have to go through that daily. Sometimes, I've been through it hourly sometimes. For months. We've got to get that straight. Otherwise, you're looking back whether you think you're turning your head or not. You are. If that unforgiveness is in you, you don't know what's going on.
Every one of us have experienced something that was debilitating almost. Somebody that didn't do us right. We've all experienced that in life. And we have to learn to make a choice that we will choose to forgive. Because that stuff will eat you up. It'll become bitterness, and it will enslave you, and it will make you sick. But every one of us has had to deal with it. If we're honest, every single one of us have had to deal with it. And the best thing that we can possibly do is to say, Lord, I choose to forgive, even when you don't feel like it. I choose to forgive because the feelings will catch up. You just go on forward with forgiveness deep in your heart. Just, I choose to forgive. And then everything will catch up with you.
God will work it out because we're being obedient.
Elizabeth, do you have any comments on these things that we're not supposed to look back at? I know that you were specializing in the things we are supposed to look back at, but I just want to open it up in case you want to talk right now.
When you do forgive, you'll see God's blessings in your life. That it hinders you. It's more for you than it is for the other person.
How about regrets? Is that kind of hard to do sometimes?
Yeah, sometimes a regret can hinder you from forgiveness as well.
Yeah.
It can encroach you.
Isn't a regret, don't we overcome that by kind of forgiving ourselves?
Yeah.
That's the hard part sometimes.
Yeah. Rose?
One time when my daughter was going to Rhema, she came home for the weekend, and she said, there won't be anybody there that has any unforgiveness in their heart.
Okay.
I know we're talking about looking back, but we need to also, today and going forward, need to talk about going ahead, because there is a tremendous spirit of fear, particularly among blacks and Puerto Ricans, my daughter who looks dark, that the election of Trump is going to mean something dangerous for them, and particularly illegals. And there are people who are spewing this kind of thing and building this hatred. And I'm in several conversations of trying to encourage these people to just look ahead, just trust the Lord and go forward. But we, as a group of believers who know what it is to come out, need to realize that there are many people who are trapped in a spirit of fear going forward.
Well, fear is a big deal. And the only way... I can remember right after I first got saved, I didn't know this for sure, but I was dealing with the spirit of guilt and fear. And how many of you have heard of David Wilkerson? He sent me, one of Carol's friends in California sent me one of his newsletters. It said, good news for bad people. And I read it in about 30 minutes. All the guilt I had in my life was washed away. And then I asked the Lord a few weeks later, what about the fear? He said, that'll take a little longer. But when guilt's washed away, then we can have fellowship with the Lord, right? When we have fellowship with the Lord, then he can get rid of fear and anything else.
Some people try to encourage you to look back, like Job's comforters.
Yeah.
And we can't do that. But once we establish the idea of looking forward in faith without fear, we're like Jesus. One of the virgins I saw, he looked forward. He set his path like a flint. Purpose
and he knew what
in
that
life.
Was. That was scary.
You look ahead with purpose.
That was his calling, was it?
I was at a conference yesterday, and one of the speakers was a 7-time Mr. Universe winner. And of course, you couldn't tell it because he's in a shirt and tie. You wouldn't recognize him. But he said his son one day came to him and says, "Daddy, I want to do what you did." He says, "Well, I'm not going to coach you." He's a life coach. He says, "I'm not going to coach you until you take the time and learn a few things. I want you to stare at that wall right there in front of me and tell me what you see." Boy says, "Daddy, I just see the wall." He says, "Now look at it again." He says, "I just see the wall, Daddy." And finally, Daddy says, "You have to see through the wall to what you will be in the future."
There
you go. He says, "Begin with the end in mind," and that's exactly what Jesus did.
That's right.
Amen. Okay, let's see where we are. We're not supposed to look back at regrets, and we can make a decision on that. We're not supposed to look back at our glory, we make a decision on that. And we're not supposed to allow forgiveness to cause us to look back against our will, but to diligently, every day when we get alone with the Lord, "Lord, show me if there's something in my past, somebody in my past, something I did in my past, show me if there's something I need to repent for." I've noticed in my life, when I go through repentance or whatever, the Lord is more real to me than any other time. That's when he really shows up. Okay, number four. Looking back at the things of this world. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Genesis 19:26. That's Lot's wife. Luke 17:31. "In that day, he who was on the housetop and his goods were in the house, let him not come down and take them away. And likewise, the one who was in the field, let him not turn back." Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life will preserve it. When Jesus spoke about looking back at the things of this world, this is shortly after this thing about the cloud. And then after this, there's some exceptions. And Elizabeth, I want you to get ready to talk about some of these exceptions. Luke 14, starting with verse 12. Then he also said to them, to him who invited him, when you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, or relatives, nor rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. That's who we're supposed to look after, guys. When we do that, Jesus is really pleased. And you'll be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Now, when one of those who sat at the table with them heard these things, he said to him, blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then he said to him, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. But they all, with one accord, began to make excuses. The first one said to him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go see it. I ask you to have me excused. Okay? Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Everybody with me so far? These are people that are looking back at the things of the world, right? Still another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Verse 21. So that servant came and reported these things to his master. And the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in here the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. Well, here's people that had stuff that they could look back at, and they didn't want to follow Jesus. So I want you to go get people that don't have any stuff, and I'll choose them to follow me. Remember when we talked about the one-hour man in Matthew 21, I think it is. The one-hour man got the rich man and the ruler, yeah. Verse 22, and the servant said, Master, it is done as you commanded, and there is still room. Then the master said to the servant, go to the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in so that my house may be filled. So he's bringing in the very weakest and the very worst of all people, the servant. Okay? For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate, it's not really have to hate your father. The word there is, puts his father and mother first, wife and children, and brothers and sisters. Yet even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So here again, looking back at the things of the world, like these richer people were looking back at the things, they didn't want to go with Jesus. There was no way. They couldn't keep their plow straight. Carol and I were talking this morning. We've seen a lot of people who were very, very anointed. I'm not talking about professional pastors, but anointed ministers of the gospel who are very lame, who can't even talk properly. One of them was here in church about 5 or 6, 8, maybe 10 years ago. I forget, but you'll see. Speech impediments and all sorts of problems, but they're highly anointed. Okay, Elizabeth, there's some exceptions. These are some things the Lord does want us to look back on. Page 3. However, this takes place while harvesting and not while plowing. All right? You plow, you sow, and then you harvest. When you plow, you can't look back. But when you're harvesting, you've got a lot of joy. Man, I got a crop. I'm not looking back. Why would I look back at something that, well, look what I got here by plowing. Look at this. Look at this ahead of me. Okay, like looking through the wall. This is copied from the God Calling Devotion, November the 8th. It says, wipe the slate. This is what God Calling said. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Forget the past. Remember only its glad days. Say the glad days. Wipe the slate of your remembrance with love, which will erase all that is not confirmed in love. You must forget your failures and those of others. Wipe them out of the book of your remembrance. Now, Elizabeth reminded me of something very powerful here that I think that was in the video. And I'll bring it up, and if you want to expand on it, you're welcome to. But there's a time when the Lord does bring us back to look at what's in us that needs to be healed, like he did these guys on TV. And we have to come back with him. And those are scars, those are scabs in our life that need to be turned into scars. Healing. I've got a scar on my wrist here that I got when I was about 11 years old falling off a bike. But it doesn't hurt me. It's just a scar, not a scab. Same with inner wounds.
I think he takes those healing moments and he allows them to, I'm going to move forward with that. He takes those healing moments to, what comes to mind is Ephesians 4:20, to bless us exceedingly above more than beyond than we can think or imagine.
Yes.
And when those moments happen, I believe it's, he blesses us tenfold. But we have to go back to move to spring forward. And we have to revisit those moments to kind of...
At his bidding,
to work through where we were so we can understand ourselves better.
Don't you think that when that happens, that scab becomes a scar and you don't have to go back there anymore?
No, you don't have to keep rehashing it over and over and over and over. But sometimes we have to go back there to,
right,
to heal that.
To get the healing.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, Matt.
Well, I am. I'm impressed with what you said just a minute ago. That really hit me pretty square. When you said he went out and found people who had stuff and they wanted to go back to their stuff.
Yeah.
So he went out and found people who didn't have anything.
Stuff.
Lately, I've been taking a look at my life and looking at those past hurts and thinking about just how much they're holding me back, because it's not just physical stuff, it's emotional stuff.
That's
it's
right.
It's baggage, and
yeah,
you talked about guilt and fear, and they go so much hand in hand. If I look back and I say, oh, look at that time I screwed up, I don't want to go forward into the future and try something again, because I'll just screw up again. So there's the fear. So the guilt feeds the fear.
The guilt feeds the fear.
So this week, I went to work one day and I said, okay, I'm sick of these things that keep bothering me. So I started writing sticky notes. Oh, there's this that bothered me. 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 So I came home with a whole pack of sticky notes, and I burned them all one by one.
Praise God! Hallelujah!
I feel like somebody took a bucket of paint off of me, just in the video. It's good stuff. It's good stuff.
Isn't there a ministry that does that? What?
Yes.
What's it called?
Walk through.
There's another one. Anyone?
Here's another one. I'm thinking of.
What is it? Yeah, yeah.
No longer bound.
I think I mentioned this the last time we were here, and it's coming up again, so I think it will. Those of us that do the spiritual warfare walkout were reminded that to get rid of the things in our past that we feel guilty for, and we are guilty, and to be set free, we have to go through what was given to us in our notebook as a page. If Pastor Russ were here, he'd be smiling, I guess. But this page, you go through with someone with you, if possible, and you admit, confess to your participation,
yes,
in the sin,
yes,
of,
yes,
fear, guilt, whatever. You take responsibility for your part.
Amen.
And then when you do that, then you go through, and the rest of the page is that you ask the Lord's forgiveness for your part, he takes away the guilt, and then you ask him to restore you, And I've seen it work over and over again. It takes about 10 minutes to go through there. If your heart's in it, you'll get set free.
Yeah. That's what Elizabeth was talking about. You've got to go back. You've got to allow him to take you back. And there's different ways of going back, isn't there? That's a good way. I think Matt had a great way. Elizabeth had a good way.
May I say something?
Yeah.
Class almost 16 years ago for the idea of helping people that had to overcome past. It didn't matter if it was addictions of different kinds or divorce or death or whatever it was they were dealing with. Well, in this healing class, we've had to sometimes be able to discuss things like this, that we definitely need to move forward. You know, the Bible is kind of a paradox at times. If you take the word fear, it will tell you that we are to fear God, that that's the beginning of all wisdom. And then it will tell you that paralyzing fear is from the devil. So in looking at forward, we are to put our eyes on the Lord and go forward. And there are those moments, like Elizabeth was saying, in order for us to be healed, when the Lord brings up something inside of us that we need to revisit one more time, in order to get that thing healed, because it's dragging us down, so that we can overcome. And this class was built on that. Revelation 12:11. We overcome him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and we love not our lives to the death. And having said that, the reason that this class has helped a lot of people through the years is because when they are overcoming those addictions, part of their healing process is that they have to think about those things. Maybe their father mistreated them as a child. Maybe something else happened.
We're just talking about your son. We're watching Mercy Me playing Flawless.
This is Jerome Knowles.
We're just talking about you.
Come on in, Jerome. Jerome is a very talented poet, but he must be here for a reason. So we're all on hold. But this class was started with the idea that there were people who were beat up so badly that they felt like they were crumbs. They felt so badly about themselves. And we wanted people to know, if God be for you, who can be against you? You come on, like Dr. Walker always taught all of us. He took us through a lot of healing many, many years ago. And that's what the cross is all about, that it makes you flawless. So anyway, this is Jerome Owens.
We're talking about when Jesus said, in Luke 7, I think it was, if you're plowing, don't look back at the bad things in life, because you won't be able to make a crop. And then we showed flawless up here. And those people, three of them were in the Mercy Me group. They're all pastors, and some were lame and this and that. They were trapped in looking back at their problems until the cross made them flawless and they got it in here. And they could go ahead with their calling. Our calling is in the plowing. That's what Jesus was talking about. As a matter of fact, it says on page 4, it says, looking back while harvesting, not while plowing and sowing. Okay? You can't look back when you're plowing for the reason Jesus said. Because at that time, listen, Psalm 126, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. While we're plowing, we may be tempted to look back at regrets, may be tempted to look back at how bad we've been. But you're crying about it. Don't just hang on. Make that straight line while you're plowing. Don't look back and curb your plow.
Really?
Like Angus said, don't look back. Yeah.
Let me share with you that basically their Mercy Me were at a crossroad too. Before my child, my oldest, wrote that with them and about 5 other tunes on there. They're about to break up. So all of us, we looked at them and we looked to people that we say, oh, they must have it together, but they don't. You understand? It's basically that. It's the basic thing for all of us to go through. You understand? We all go through the pain and the suffering. But as Christians, if we realize the suffering is actually where Christ is,
amen.
Then basically there's no happiness in that, but there's basic peace in that. You understand? There's peace in suffering. You understand? Women understand that more so than men because they grow that child in them. You understand? So that's more godlike. And us, we all go, yeah, well, we can put that plow and we can plow this field. But the reality is, you have to look at why you're plowing that field. You're plowing that field to feed that child. That child that grows up in a perfect way to actually worship the God that created him.
Praise God.
You understand? So it's that. So it's like, I asked my kid, just in, well, you'll know, I said, well, man, what did you do on that tune, Mercy Me, for Mercy Me, that was like number one for 3 months? And he said, I don't know, Dad. I don't remember. And that is an important thing, y'all.
Amen.
Like when I first got here, they all got me saved, and I was a lot rougher then than I am now. You understand? And I'm pretty rough around the edges. But there was a woman here that I actually would stand on one side of the thing, and she bothered me because she'd say, I talked to God last night about you. And I, you know what I mean? It bothered me. You bothered me to death. It bothered me. You know? So I said, I finally just said, you know, next time you talk to God about me, ask him what my greatest sin was. Because I'd had enough, right? I'm a grown man. So I didn't see her for about 3 or 4 months, or 3 or 4 weeks. And then I was over on that side of the church, and she was over where she usually is. And I saw her about 3 weeks later, and she went, okay, you know, and I went, oh, no, here she comes, right? And so basically, she came over, and I said, how are you? And she said, I'm fine. She said, you know, she started to say something. I said, you talked to God about me? She said, yes, I did. And she said it so emphatically, it kind of scared me. You know what I mean? She said, I said, did you ask him what my greatest sin was? And she said, yes.
Oh.
Man, that got serious for me right there. You know what I mean? Because I'm a sinner. I mean, I'm a sinner. And so I said, well, I just got saved. Don't say it to any of these people in here. You know what I mean? If you can help it. You know, and I said, what did he say? And she said, he said, and I said, what? And she said,
oh, man.
And I said, what? And she said, he forgot.
He forgot.
You understand? When she said he forgot, I went, like that. I went, this woman's not who I thought she was. You know what I mean? She's over here to help me. You understand? That's what this is about. No matter what happened on Tuesday, we don't follow that guy.
That's right.
No matter what happened, no matter who you voted for or who you didn't vote for, we followed Christ. You understand? When that person follows Christ, then we're along with him. And we're basically with Christ. But when that person does not follow Christ, we're still with Christ. You understand? That's our only hope. It's our only hope. So, y'all, both of us have something in common, by the way. After we first got saved, we both used to stand out in the open and raise our hands and said, Lord, is the rapture coming right now? I'm ready. We both said that.
Rapture practice.
Rapture practice.
Now let's
read Psalms 126 again. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. In other words, what he's saying, the first part of the heart, the first part of running that crop is going to be painful. You're going to cry. We're sowing in tears. I can't look back. I'm hurting, but I'm going to keep my head straight
and I'm going to plow straight. But 6 months or 6 years or 10 years later, whenever the harvest comes, and it's been all, it's, sometimes it's been 10 or 15 years for us. Lord, is that why we have to suffer? Because you brought this harvest in? And now I can rejoice bringing, because I'm bringing, I get my sheaves with me right now. Look what you did in my, this is what we teach in this class, isn't it? We go through suffering because the demonic forces that cause us to suffer are defeated because we're righteous. Amen, David? But we have to keep that in our minds. We have to keep that in our minds. We have to stay righteous. It doesn't matter how long it takes. We win. Hang on a minute. We need to look back at how God has converted our trials and sufferings into a harvest and be reminded that He will continue to do that for us now.
As Jesus was looking forward with this, I set forward the end, looking from the beginning to the end. What the poet just told us, he was looking forward to that time of suffering.
That's right.
But he was, that wasn't the wall. He was looking beyond that.
Beyond the wall.
To die for us.
Yes.
And that wasn't the end either. He was looking forward to his resurrection. And that's what we need to remember as we go through this process, is that we have to see the end from the beginning as we go through it. Now, what you just said a few minutes ago, Carol, about the beginnings of this class and the reason that you set it up, you guys stick to that. I really appreciate that. Even in this election, I called up Larry to try to get him off track. He hadn't mentioned anything about politics or anything. I said, "What's going on here, Larry?"
We don't talk politics.
He wouldn't get off track. I was trying to tell him I thought what was going to happen, but he wouldn't even pay attention to it. Because he's looking forward to 12. What the end of this class is fulfilling your ministry requirement, which is Revelation 12:11.
Amen. What
Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 6, when my king died, then I also saw the Lord. Because when our earthly kings don't mean that much to us, then we can see the Lord.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Larry, I wanted to contribute sort of my outlook too. With the whole concept of flawless, I'd like to add three words to it. Flawless in His eyes. And what do I mean by that, and how does that happen? Let's remember that Jesus, when He died on the cross, God the Father is so holy, He cannot look upon sin.
Oh, wow.
Jesus is our advocate. He's there all the time at the Father's side. And when God the Father looks at us, He doesn't see Arlene, because I'm not flawless in the flesh. No way. I mean, I keep beating down all of these things that we're talking about. But it's like the Passover. The blood was on the doorposts. God passed over His Jewish people. So when we apply the blood that Jesus shed on the cross by saying, "God, thank you. I confess my sins. I accept your sacrifice for me." We have a tallit. We have a shawl over us. And it's Jesus' shawl. So that's how we're flawless. And that's how God the Father can look at us, even when we aren't doing so well every day.
I'm not going to read the Lord's Prayer, but the Lord's Prayer is a great way to keep your eyes forward. Speak it out loud, meditate on it. But the last... Hang on one second. What if you have looked back? Last paragraph. What if you're even looking back right now? Jesus offers us amazing grace. He says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." I forgot to put the rest of the verse in there. He says, "Take my yoke upon you." Okay? Taking on the plowing yoke with Jesus, He invites us to yoke up with Him when we are weary or failed. In this scene, we're not doing the plowing, but we have the invitation to yoke up with Jesus as the oxen were yoked up. This is where Jesus wants us to end up, yoked up with Him, dependent upon Him. plowing was normally done by yoking two oxen together, with the man guiding and steering the plow from the back. Here we find rest and still carry out God's plan. So when we are weary and heavy laden, I didn't put verse 29 in there. It says, take up my yoke.
This lesson today is encouraging to me, Larry, because in a few areas of my life, most of them sort of related to our kids, I feel like not only have I turned around, but I sort of sat down in the middle of the road. And that I'm at the point where I'm like, I'm scared, and I have regrets, and I don't even have the vision of looking through the wall. And I'm encouraged, though, to say, okay, Lord, so I need to hear from you. I want to sit down and get in your word, and I've got to have something to hold on to so that I can stay straight, turn around, get up.
That's right.
And so, Elizabeth, would you like to end with prayer? Would that be okay with you?
I just want to say, in response to what Dan was saying about the election, we're living in a country today that is very upset and very divided, and it's really not about this world. We have to keep our eyes on heaven. We are living in a time where I think we're going to see the ushering in of Jesus Christ, and I believe that with all of my heart. And it was prophesied that nations would rise up against nations and that there would be all kinds of confusion. Now, we've all done the very best we could with voting. Now we have to put it in God's hands. We have to look forward. And it doesn't matter what we see around us. We've got to look forward and know that the Word of God has said that these are birth pains. Didn't Jesus tell us there would be signs all around us? When a woman is 9 months pregnant and the baby is coming and she's having labor pains, does her husband go to the doctor and say, stop the pains? No. He wants that baby to come on. We can look up because our Lord is in control, and our Redeemer is coming, and our redemption draweth nigh. So I'm just trying to encourage everybody here and anybody that might be listening on this. We know that there's a lot of division in the world. There's a lot we can't do about all that division. But God is in control, and if we keep our eyes on Him and know that He's in control, then it's going to all be all right. Amen?
Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to pray for everyone in this classroom today. I want to thank you for a good lesson, and I want to thank you for the harvest that is to come in each and every one of our lives.
Amen.
And Lord Jesus, I just want to pray that while we plow and chip away each of a part of us, whatever it is that we need to chip away, the old and bring in the new, that you show us what it is. You guide us, give us direction, bring strength, grace, that you bring a new mind. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you renew in us a new beginning, a new spirit, and that you unite the country, that we have with our president, that you guide him with your spirit and your love.
Amen.
In heavenly name, amen.
Amen.